BZH910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media News, app.
I'm Rena Roy. 22 Americans now among the 1,200 killed in the weekend Hamas terror attacks. And in Hamas-controlled Gaza, after days of Israeli airstrikes, more than 1,000 Palestinians have been killed. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, before leaving for Israel, says the rescue of Americans being held hostage along with Israelis in Gaza is a priority.
We stand resolutely against terrorism.
The first U.S. flights with ammunition and weapons arrived in Israel. The House Republican Conference held a secret ballot vote, giving Steve Scalise the most votes as the nominee to replace Kevin McCarthy as Speaker.
It's really, really important that this Congress get back to work. We select a Speaker, go to the House floor, get to 218, and then get the House working again.
Scalise not winning enough support to take a full vote on the House floor today. The House paralyzed until a Speaker is elected, putting critical funding for Israel on hold. This is ABC News. NASA announces the findings from samples of the 4.5-billion-year-old asteroid Bennu, collected by the OSIRIS-REx space probe.
Sample material from the asteroid Bennu revealing substances that NASA says could indicate the building blocks of life on Earth. The findings, evidence of water and high carbon content. NASA leadership and scientists at the Johnson Space Center in Houston say while more study is needed to understand the nature of what's been found, the initial analysis offers insight into how the solar system was formed, how life was created on Earth, and what precautions need to be taken to avoid an asteroid colliding with the planet. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
New York Attorney General Letitia James announced proposed legislation to regulate social media platforms. James accused social media apps of using what she called addictive features to hook minors. Proposed rules would restrict social media algorithms that target young users and give the Attorney General's office new power over social media companies. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Following a rebranding from the University of Wisconsin Systems to the Universities of Wisconsin, the universities are looking at more substantive changes as well. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman says the universities will launch a direct admission system, which will admit students capable of succeeding before they even apply. The universities will also look into a dual enrollment system, which will allow residents to get college credits while still in high school. A bipartisan bill in the Wisconsin legislature would allow school board members to fill in as school bus drivers amid a shortage in those positions. The bill would create an exception in state law and make it clear that school board members will be allowed to legally drive the bus. The main concern was that insurance companies would not have been able to determine if the bus was being driven legally by a school board member, should it be involved in an accident, and may not have covered the loss. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school. Whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale, it's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the... pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Located off Victoria and Grand in St. Paul, or cafelatte.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. That means Stein coming in here in just about a half an hour to reek up the place. Twins not playing today, thank God, because I like having producers that actually are paying attention to the show. The game starts at 6 this afternoon. And hey, it's the one.
The Texas Rangers getting that sweep last night, or I think we would have had the 1 o'clock game, which would have been fun, yeah.
Yeah, it would.
With entering the critical innings just as the show starts.
Yeah, it's really not been the best shows. I mean, we have to talk about the fact that, you know, I can't wait. I mean, hopefully if we get to the American League Championship Series, which is kind of a far reach at this point. But if we do get there, hopefully we mostly night games, because these shows just are, what, who, mother?
Somehow Fox will give them like an 11 a.m. first yes. pitch for game one when there's no other games that day.
Well, I mean, okay, if L.A. and the Braves face off, they're going to, that'll be the primetime game everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, so 952-946-6205. We have some big old news. I mean, we are, it's newsy news pants here. In case you did not know, there is a show on in the mornings we like to call Stephanie Miller. It is on from 8 until 11. We love having her on. She is basically, is she the only show that's been on longer than I have at this station at this point? I think she is. Hartman, do we?
Yeah, I was thinking Tom, maybe.
No, but Tom was. Remember, we used to have Ed in that spot. Yep. I mean, so he was broadcast. He was broadcast later in the day, wasn't he? Ah, so Tom did beat me too.
Not the same time slot.
No. Well, how many time slots have I been on this station? I'll be here 3 a.m. on a Saturday morning. No. Don't give any people any.
Careful, it'll be the plot of the show.
It will. I wouldn't mind. You know, we'll play some music. I'll sit around. We'll talk gummies. You know, good fun. No, but Steph has been on the air. Tom Hartman's been on the air. Stephanie Miller, of course, has done the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. She's been to Minneapolis multiple times. They have not done a tour. I don't believe they've did a tour this year, but they're going to do one show. And this is going to be pay-per-view. And they're going to be doing this. If you're not paid attention, this is coming up October 21st. So a week from this Saturday. And it's going to be on demand all the way through November 30th. So you can go out and see it. And you've got Frangela, you've got Hal Sparks, you've got, you know, my man crush, John Fugelsang, who might be on the air with us next Thursday. I don't want to promise anything. Oh my. And of course, Stephanie Miller, plus special guests, good fun there. So it is pay-per-view. All right. And so here's the deal. I want to let you know, we have got pay-per-view passes to give away starting tomorrow. Now, we will give them away during the show. You know, so you're going to have to listen to this. 2 hours. 2 hours. I own you. So you're going to have to listen to this. And you'll have a chance to win there. I sound so fatalist. You'll have a chance to win there, okay? All right? But we're also doing this fun thing. We have what's called social media. I know! Radio station. Now, this is the radio station's social media accounts. AM 950 Radio on Twitter, on the Facebook, and on the Instagram. Who are we posting pictures of on Instagram?
Oh, I don't know, that mystery guy that I can't identify, that producer that occasionally fills in on the show.
We look like, Circus of Freaks here. I mean, what pictures are we putting up there? You're not. Are you putting pictures of me up there? It's Instagram. Am I getting followers? Am I getting likes? Am I getting, what is it? I don't know. None of these words make any sense to me. It's just something that's going on. It's for the pretty people. I'm not a pretty person. Have you looked at me? No, no. Anyway, we do have that. So bon appetit. You can go visit those at your leisure. We do actually put good content up there on all of the sites, not only for this show, but all the shows, updates on events we're going to be doing, you know, information, sometimes news. We have a lot of stuff that we put up on these social media sites. And so if you're not following them, AM 950 Radio on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, you should be following them. All right. Here's what's going to happen. Starting tomorrow, what time do you, any idea what time this is going to get posted up on?
I would guess probably around 8 or 9 a.m. sometime 8 or 9 in that frame.
Sometime tomorrow, and we're going to be doing this for a while, okay? So tomorrow in the morning on the social media sites, on the Twitter, on the Facebook, and on the Instagram, we will make a post, and this is going to be talking about the Stephanie Miller tour coming through, or the pay-per-view event, right? That's what the post is going to be about, right?
Yep, we're going to be specifically mentioning this is the post you need to comment on.
And that's what you're going to have to do. I am going to give you the phrase you need to comment on those posts, whether that's Facebook, Twitter, or on Instagram. But here is the phrase that you need. It's tomorrow. This is tomorrow. And you have between 8 a.m., 9 a.m. tomorrow and 2 p.m. 2 p.m. is the cutoff every day, okay? Go to the social media sites and just post on there under an account we can track you with, by the way. I love Steph. Now, this is today's code, okay? I love Steph is today's code. We will be changing it every day. You got to listen for this show to find out what the code is that you need to put on the social media posts tomorrow. You have until 2 p.m. tomorrow. You get it on there. We count all the people that have entered in. Guess what? We'll randomly pick one, and that person will get themselves a pay-per-view pass as well. So lots of ways you can do it. You can listen to the show. Starting tomorrow, we'll be giving away a pay-per-view pass in the show itself. And you just, during the day, you have to go to the social media sites, the AM 950 Radio, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram. Find the right post. Type in, I love Steph. And you could be the winner of a pass for the pay-per-view as well. And once again, that pay-per-view, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour with special guests. That's going to be October 21st. Of course, Stephanie, Hal Sparks, Fugelsang, Frangela, other people as well. That's going to be good fun. So a week from Saturday, you can get that. And then, of course, once again, on demand through November 30th. So good stuff there. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I love Steph. I love Steph. That's what you, it's three words. I love Steph. That's what you need to put into the social media post tomorrow.
And you need to put those words. It can't be I like Steph. It's got to be I love Steph.
Now, we'll give you a little bit of a break here. Because
like, well, I heart Steph. Yeah, I'll like that.
Well, I mean, Steph could be, a lot of people might, S-T-E-F. It's actually S-T-E-P-H. But we'll give you the mulligan on that one. Okay. So just in any variation, I heart Steph, I love Steph, whatever, that will work. Okay. Like doesn't work. Love. You got to love. Look for the social media post tomorrow. Listen to the show. We'll announce the winner tomorrow. And then we'll also announce tomorrow's, the phrase for tomorrow, which we'll have to put in on Friday. Okay. So just keep listening. All the information coming your way right here on AM 950. Now, Holidazzle. I went back and I looked at my social, my camera roll, and 2012, I had a 3-year-old daughter, then it would be a 6-year-old daughter, or 7-year-old daughter, and then a 10-year-old son. We went out to the Holidazzle as it used to be. Now, did you ever go to the Holidazzle out there when it was a parade?
Say that again?
Holidazzle.
I've been out there a few times, yeah.
And you went there when it was the light-up parade down Nicollet
Mall. Oh, yeah. Gotcha, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the time I was going out there.
Now,
yeah.
You've gone to this other one. Have you gone to the new one? They have over Learning Park?
No.
I went there once. I'll come back to that here in a second. It was the last time I went. I was looking at the pictures. I went with my mom and my dad. My dad was still around at that point. And I can't tell you how much fun we had. Now, if you never saw it, if you never went to it, I'm going to explain a few things here that you probably go past you. But if you ever went to it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The dancing Christmas lights, the guys walking down the street with the stars, the spinning snowmen, all the light up floats, the marching band with the lights. It was great fun. It was just great fun. March down Nicollet Mall. I think it started at 12th. Maybe. Did it start at 12? I can't remember what. I thought it went north. I thought it went up towards the river. I'm not mistaken. And it went up that. Yeah, it did. I know it did. And so it went up just a few blocks. It was packed downtown. You had to have police at every intersection because there were so many people just trying to watch the parade. It was packed. The night we went was cold. As a matter of fact, we went out and got hot chocolate at a local place in the downtown with my kids that evening with my parents. We had a blast. The kids had such a good time. I remember my little girls sitting there with a warm cup of hot chocolate talking to grandma and grandpa. It was a good time. It was packed. It was packed to the gills. At some point, somebody, and I'm going to add some personal things here, and I'm not sure exactly the details. But someone decided, well, you know what we need to do? We need millennials and Gen Zers. They could care less about Gen Xers. Gen Zers and millennials. Yeah, we need to get them making some Instagram moments. That's what we need. Now, mind you, there was nothing more spectacularly photogenic than watching that parade coming down in the heart of the downtown with all the big buildings around us. Everyone cheering and having a good time. It was a blast. But somebody decided to freaking think too much and say to themselves, as opposed to have an event that appeals to basically everybody, let's make sure we get an event because we want to sacrifice this major event so that we have 3 or 4 years of Gen Z saying, woo, that's what we want, man. You. I don't know if that's actually how the meeting went. I can only speculate. But I've been around this crap a while. I mean, there is this stupid mentality that comes about, and I'm going to be blunt. I think this is stupid mentality that comes about that we have to change things up, keeping it fresh. We got to keep it fresh. And you end up destroying something that was spectacular. I understand Macy's was closing downtown, the 8th floor, which did you ever go to the holiday show up on the 8th floor at Macy's?
Yeah, I did as a kid. I haven't been there in quite some time.
It was great. It hadn't changed at all. Singing Christmas trees, great fun. It was awesome. Awesome. And I understand Macy's decided to shut down the store, but that was just something. It was so photogenic. It was so relatable. It was enjoyable. Everyone liked it. And it's gone. You've got to grasp and hold these things because they are fantastic. And I get it. Some guy thought to himself, we are going to open a beer garden because I want a beer garden. And me and my friends want a beer garden. We don't want a parade. And the thing which blows my mind, there's a few things about this, and I'm going to talk at length about one after the break, but what is that people around them are like, okay, wait a second here. No. Okay, I've been to the new version of Holidazzle. It felt more like it was basically just a beer garden kind of mentality, which, you know, it wasn't really kid-friendly. I mean, it was some pretty lights and stuff, but it wasn't really kid-friendly. It didn't have, it was relatively small. You walk from one side to the other side. It's kind of like Rice Park over at the Winter Carnival. You know, it's like, you know, don't pay the full 2-hour park in there. You know, you can get done with this sucker in about 30 minutes. And I'm not saying you don't go and do it. I'm just saying it's small. It's not big. It's not like you're at the fairgrounds and hiking around. It's designed for yo, you know, that sort of thing. You know, I got to get some social media posts. Woo! because someone thought to themselves, as opposed to a picture of kids having a great time in front of a light-up float with the Wizard of Oz on it and the downtown area, the skyline behind it, they thought, you know, some picnic benches with beers. That's really what everyone's going to want to be there. You guys are kind of screwed up because you took one of the greatest things that used to exist and basically have turned it into a nondescript, boring kind of event, which, by the way, just has been canceled for this year. You had 20 people deep, all along Nicollet Mall, from the south side to the north side, 20 people deep. It was five deep in the skyways looking down on the parade. The downtown was packed at night through the holidays. And some brain trust decided, you know what we don't need anymore? All that. Hey, let's go get a beer garden for kiddos. There is, like I said, I don't know all the details about this, and I'm probably, you know, not being very fair and also being very mean to a point. But God, man, you guys can't screw this up. And there's something that happened with both the Macy's 8th floor and with Holidazzle that make me just kind of wonder what really was going on. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood restaurant in the Whittier neighborhood at 26th and Lindale. Nightingale has patio, dining room, and bar seating available. Plus, they still have takeout and delivery. Their menu has lots of delicious options like the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings, Smoked Chicken Liver Pate, and more. They're open from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. daily with their full menu until midnight. So make the friendly neighborhood Nightingale your go-to restaurant in South Minneapolis. Place an order, make a reservation, and more at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, this is Gina. Matthew, I will not read this next line.
I'll be your snookum-wookums.
Fine. My husband is the sexiest radio host in Minnesota, Matt McNeil.
Dang straight.
When it came time to replace my vehicle, I wanted an option that was safe in the environment. I wanted a hybrid. My RAV4 hybrid is a greener vehicle without sacrificing style and comfort. I love my Toyota hybrid.
Toyota hybrids are incredibly fuel efficient. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
New at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Kuma wood stoves and fireplace inserts. American-made, sturdy and efficient wood heaters. All models qualify for 30% tax credit you can earn for installing efficient and renewable wood heat. Come see the new wood-burning Kuma stoves and fireplace inserts.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has been selling wood-burning products since 1977. Kuma wood burners are hard-working home heaters made from heavy, laser-cut steel. Kuma stoves and fireplace inserts have cast iron doors and large self-cleaning glass windows. You can see the firelight and feel the heat from their efficient fire. One of Woodland's many choices to make fire work for you and your home.
Work with the chimney and insulation experts. They not only install, but will guide you if you want to install yourself. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood, gas, and electric units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. So, okay, fine. Someone decides we're going to take one of the great iconic events of Minneapolis, an event that shows the world that we're not afraid of cold. We go out and we have some fun in it. And instead, we're going to turn it into, you're going to have a beer garden, man. Woo! Bring your cameras, man. Look, I'm having a beer. Freaking losers. Sorry. But it's true. Because someone decided to think too hard. And that person right now is probably cursing me out because me and my friends love going there. Yeah, that's the problem. You thought about you and your friends. You didn't think about the city. And that's the problem. That's my guess. I don't know what really happened. But there is one thing that's happened with both the Holidazzle and with the 8th floor of the Macy's that just tell me that part of this Do you remember the movie Hoosiers? You remember that movie? Yeah. Okay. Remember that there's a scene in there where they have the vote to, they have a vote to replace the coach, right? Sorry. Go. It's only since 1984. Go watch
that. Yeah, no spoilers, please. Yeah,
okay, fine. Anyway, there's a vote to do this, and there's this one being led by this one guy who doesn't like the coach. And the kid comes in and says, I'll play for the team. And the guy says, I told you once we got rid of him, basically he'd come play. And he said, no, but here's the only rule I have is that I play for that coach or I don't play at all. And the guy that was trying to get rid of the coach basically says, but we just voted him out. And he doesn't want people to revisit the decision to get rid of the coach because he finally got his goal of doing this. He finally succeeded. I'm going to get rid of my great white whale, which happens to be Gene Hackman as the coach in Hoosiers. So they decide not to do the Holidazzle Parade. They decide not to do the eighth floor at Macy's. What do? Do they put that stuff in storage saying, hey, maybe we should revisit this at some point? Nope. They basically sell it all off. They sell it all off. They get rid of it all. That's what at least I've understood, is that most of that stuff ended up being thrown out or sold. I mean, and I know most of the eighth floor of the Macy's. And the Macy's is very inexcusable. And I bring that up, even though that's not part of the Holidazzle. But that's inexcusable because at some point you could have thought to yourself, gosh, let's just give this to the Mall of America or just take it over to the Mall of America Macy's and they could set it up over there and you would have an automatic massive draw every stinking year at the Mall of America to your Macy's store. But no, heaven forbid you actually think ahead. And it almost seems like the decision to get rid of it is like, well, let's sell everything really quick so we can't revisit this. And that's kind of what it feels like with Holidazzle. Let's sell everything. Let's get rid of everything really quick so then we can't go back. So, well, you know, you might want us. Which, by the way, just tells me the people behind these decisions knew they were bad decisions in the first place. You don't go burn the bridges behind you because you say to yourself, I want to go apparent, maybe go strolling back. No, you basically do it so that people are stuck. Either it's my way or the highway. Either you fire Gene Hackman or that's it. And that's kind of what happened here. All that stuff is gone. And sure, I've heard from some people saying, well, Matt, you don't understand. Some of that stuff was in bad shape. Fine. Hire some seamstresses or get some volunteers. Dear God, I don't think you'd have too much problem finding them. And fix the stuff back up again. Once this stuff goes away, it generally doesn't come back. But if I may make a plea to the Holidazzle people, outside of a few people, no one cares about a beer garden by Loring Park. I want to repeat that. And I understand that that might be hard to hear. But it was not becoming a premier event. It wasn't becoming things. I mean, for goodness sakes, I can think of three or four things. I mean, the lights over at the Arboretum, that ice palace thing that they did out in Stillwater. You know, there was various things they did in a lot of different places that, you know, that were pretty good. Holiday lights. I mean, my gosh, how many holiday light celebrations? They did the holiday light celebration over the state fairgrounds that one year. It was great fun. By the way, that's where I found there was some guy out there had bought a few of those things from the eighth floor at Macy's. That's where, you know, and of course, yeah, just, you know, hollow shell. It wasn't the winner suggestion, and unfortunately, someone made a decision to get rid of all the stuff so that we can't revisit it. That's on you guys. It was a bad idea to stop Holidazzle. I'm sorry, it was. It was a bad idea, and when I'm talking about Holidazzle, I'm talking about the parade. It was a bad idea to stop the parade. It was a bad idea to think to yourself, you're gonna, you know, a beer garden with a slide is somehow it's gonna bring in all the millennials and Gen Zers. Everyone's gonna be here. No one cares. I mean, you live in a city of Minneapolis. How many good beer gardens are there? I mean, it's not Thief River Falls where, you know, hey, we got a beer garden that's coming in for a temporary basis. You got parking nightmares. You got, you know, I think you actually have to pay to get into the beer garden, too, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I'm not saying you don't have to pay for beer, of course, obviously, but swing and a miss. Swing and a miss. I get it. In 20 years, some brain trust is going to go down to the Minnesota Zoo and say, no one wants the pumpkin walk anymore. We need a beer garden. That will bring in all the generations. What's the next generation after Z? Do we know it? The zygotes. The zygotes will all be here. They're going to love it so much. I hope I didn't just culturally claim the next generation are the zygotes. You're welcome, world. Mwah. But that's, I mean, I hope no one goes to the conservatory some point and say, you know, we need to rip out all these flowers. And you know what we need is a beer garden. We need to get rid of the Mall of America. You know what we should put in there? A beer garden, because that will bring in all the generations, years, millennials. Yo, yo.
Beer gardens everywhere. That's what brings in the younger crowd.
You got to stop being stupid. And I hate saying it because I know there's some executive right now who's probably fuming at me. You got stupid, man. And sure, I'm glad you and your buddies are enjoying it at the detriment of the rest of the metro. You want to do a holodazzle again? Find it. Go buy back all that stuff and put it on downtown. Because I can tell you right now, downtown will appreciate the crowds. I'll go back down there with the kids. We'll have a great time. I'll go down at that point probably with my grandkids. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon, but I guess I'd look forward to it. Because you know what? I'm not afraid of going out in the cold. And I just don't need a freaking beer garden and some guy doing cover songs to act like I'm feeling like I'm in a youthful hip city, dude. You're trying too hard. How about I say it like that? That's the whole thing. We'll just say it's a... You're trying too hard. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hey, speaking of trying too hard, Jeff Stein up next. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I liked it better when you improvised a story we had. If you adore me, why do you ignore me? I liked it
better. Pause up, pet pals. Coming up on Arden Moore's Four-Legged Life Show this week, we have Billy Bosco of the famous pet family who founded Pet King Brands and Dr. Ross Hewitt, creator of a new film called Chris the Cat. Be sure to tune in.
Catch Arden Moore's Four-Legged Furry Life every Sunday at 5 p.m. on AM 950.
The Guthrie Theater presents For the People, an irreverent new comedy born of the Twin Cities Native community. In the play, April Dakota dreams of opening a wellness center on Franklin Avenue to serve the Native community. She's counting on a grant to make it happen, but when her presentation goes sideways, she's forced to make a decision that puts the community and her culture at risk. On stage now through November 12th. Tickets at GuthrieTheater.org. That's through November 12th. GuthrieTheater.org.
Whether you rent or own a home, we all likely have nightmare stories about home maintenance, or what I like to call home cringe moments. Join me, your host, Katie Shahan, for the Yarlow Home Cringe Show. See what home cringe-worthy stories we have for you each week as we talk with local home service pros, learn best practices for winterizing your home, or what to look for after a hailstorm. Listen to the Yarlow Home Cringe Show every Sunday at 2 p.m. or on your favorite podcast app.
It's no secret that medical care costs are soaring, with nursing home and skilled nursing care costs being some of the highest. You don't have to deplete your savings in order to receive long-term care. At Schroman Law, we work with families to develop and implement strategic planning for medical assistance for long-term care, for assisted living, nursing home care, or home-based care. Contact us today to schedule a free consultation at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 59. Tonight, clear with a low around 43. And Thursday, a chance for rain with a high near 55. Since 1984, Cafe Latte has been serving up the freshest baked goods and modern comfort food in a cafeteria setting. Their menu is prepared with the best ingredients available. Cafe Latte is a leader in sustainable dining, composting their food and paper waste, along with recycling everything they can. Located off Victoria and Grand in St. Paul, or at cafelatte.com.
Jeff Stein Klein is our national and presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books, as well as TotallyIowa.com, the Iowa Business Report, the Iowa Politics Report. Come to us from his flagship, KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I am well, but I heard a bit of the screed
yes.
or rant or whatever. Now, you need to come clean with people as to why you are anti-Beer Garden. Because I know for a fact that when you lived in Iowa, you misunderstood and you thought if you took a six-pack of empty bottles of beer and planted them in the ground and watered them, they would then sprout new full bottles of beer. And when that didn't
crops
happen...
coming in.
You know, I mean, you were waiting for harvest. I don't know how long. And it was sad.
Well,
and,
okay. Let me ask you this. Did you ever go to the Minneapolis Holidazzle when it was the light parade downtown?
No.
Oh,
I don't live in the Twin Cities. I used to visit occasionally, but not. No. So, no, I have not.
Well, it's just that's the problem is that you have these iconic events and you have them in your town. There's ones in Des Moines. Sure. There's ones. There are these great iconic events. And once they go away, especially if they sell off all the uniforms and all the floats and all that stuff. That's all gone. And that's gone. And the reality is that you can put as many beer gardens as you want around. That's never going to capture the amazing environment that was the Holidazzle Parade when it was just down on Nicollet Mall every night through December. It was just spectacular.
Well, what was the point of changing things?
Like I said, I think some guys said, well, you know, we got to keep it young and fresh. And that was the kind of thing. I think that was kind of the mentality. Plus, the fact that, I mean, when it got really cold, people would complain. But, you know, it's like still they'd end up with a ton of people downtown no matter what.
Well, okay. You're in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, it is. Last I checked.
So, therefore, it gets cold in the winter. And people live there knowing that. Again, there are so many of these things where, and to your point, which I see the same thing here. It's like, here we have things that aren't broken, and then people try to fix them.
Yep.
And there's a reason certain things move along just fine without any improvement. And you want to go have a different event, go have a different event. You know, that's fine. I know, though, that, again, you were still waiting for the hams to come up out of the ground, and then you realize that Iowa was zone 7, and it wasn't conducive to growing hams, and instead it was Olympia and
Grain Belt, man. Grain Belt, man. What are you talking about? Grain Belt.
Little bit of Stroh's Light, and it just wasn't.
Stroh's Light, jeez. You know, it's not like, why don't you say Special Export Light? Dear Lord.
That really was water, wasn't it? If you get right down to it, it was just
water from Toledo. Oh, God, it was not good. No, I mean, it's, you know, from the land of sky blue water, indeed. All right, you and I could just blow an entire show talking about this. I could go through the Twins lineup with you in a heartbeat. But I want to start off with.
There's a game tonight? Am I to understand there's a game tonight?
Not, you know, this town's on death watch after last night yesterday. So, you know, I don't want to, I'll just let it happen. And hopefully things are good and we're going back to Houston for a game.
and then just won't come home if you don't bring home hardware, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you still do Homer Yankees?
Yeah, of course they do. That's kind of...
You know, there's no dome anymore. Everybody understands that. Homer Yankees, there's no dome.
Well, it's a larger hanky. They can wrap themselves. It's more of a wrap. Homer wraps. I love a good Nathaniel Hawthorne smackdown like the next guy. But sure. I'm just going to start with the stupidity of this. Nancy Mace is running around the Capitol with a scarlet letter A on. Now, I could put a letter F or a letter A on a shirt and run around the Capitol. And most people are going to say, oh, well, thanks for letting us know. But the reality is, if you didn't read the book, the scarlet letter A was a condemnation for adultery. And here's Nancy Mace running around the Capitol, who clearly hasn't read the book, acting like, you know, I guess that, I mean, first of all, I look at it as like, sure, A. Good letter choice there. You know, you deserve everything you're about to get. But at the same time, it's like, even if we go with your intended meaning, do you understand that that was for adultery, which apparently you didn't? And yeah, I don't know what's up with Nancy Mace, but she's gotten stupid.
Well, if the A fits.
Yeah. Hell, I mean, did she pull a Boebert? I mean, who doesn't love Beetlejuice? Well,
Did she pull a Boebert? Well, I think that was the pulling. I don't think the Boebert was pulled.
Clang, clang, clang goes the trolley. No,
But as I recall, wasn't it Nancy Mace?
Yes.
Who was late to an appearance speaking at like the National Prayer Breakfast or whatever, and she dismissed being late because her fiance pulled her back. I mean, she sang this at the podium, pulled her back into bed that morning, and she said, no, hon, I got to go, and, you know, I got to get the kids up. Like, wait, wait, so many things wrong at so many levels. And so if she's wandering around with an A, perhaps there's been a declaration or an adjudication that we're just not aware of, and I want to keep an open mind.
She's an interesting character. She is from the most liberal part of South Carolina, a part I'm familiar with, South Carolina 1, which is actually, it is actually, I think, actually maybe favors a D, it's like a D1 district. It is, the thing which is remarkable about this is that she has kind of almost in a month gone from this, I'm really a moderate, I don't agree with this extremism, to, because she voted against Kevin McCarthy, she now can't kind of get away from her own vote. And it really is interesting to see her, you know, who supposedly was the moderate of the Republican Party. And now she's kind of lost. She doesn't seem to have any trajectory whatsoever.
Well, she voted with all the Democrats, so that makes her more of a moderate, doesn't it?
Well,
that probably won't work in her district. But, you know, I heard her try to explain this all away. At the same time, she was explaining away why she was fundraising off of the vote when she had just torched Matt Gaetz for the same thing 9 months ago. But it's very different now. Oh, okay. Well, she basically said, Kevin McCarthy lied to my face multiple times and he needed to go. Okay. So that makes it not a public policy decision. It makes it not a moderate versus conservative decision. It makes it I was wronged and I'm extolling a personal the result of a personal grudge. That's what it came down to. She said, I'd been lied to my face too many times. Okay, but what about what your constituents would have wanted? What about, I don't know, passing a budget, you know, God forbid. So, yeah, she's got herself out on an island. And if she wants to, you know, she might have done better with the L as opposed to the A, Laverne and Shirley, like. I mean, that might have gotten her a little more straight cred, but I don't know what she's going for.
I'm going to get back to something else she did, which is kind of after the fact. We talk about what's up next. Steve Scalise has come forward now in a closed door meeting. He was basically picked to be the sacrificial lamb they put up there for the next speaker vote. Whether or not he's going to get the number of votes he needs to become the speaker remains to be seen. But this is a bit of a surprise because Jim Jordan was basically kind of picked by Trump, picked by a lot of the far right. I mean, he is more conservative, more to the right than Scalise is, but not by much. So it is kind of interesting that out of that meeting, they ended up rejecting Jordan and going with Scalise.
And it was almost virtually evenly split. And let's see, I believe it was 113 for Scalise and 99 for Jordan. That is pretty well split. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, yes, he got the majority of Republicans in the room. But 99 Republicans did not vote for Scalise in that closed door, closed ballot session. How many of them would vote for him if it goes to the floor? And the answer is not enough, because otherwise, Matt, wouldn't they have gotten out of the caucus? He would have said nice things to the camera and they would have moved immediately to the chamber and done the vote, because that was the plan. Members, to my understanding, members on both sides were told, be ready for a floor vote. Well, they didn't get the unanimity of the caucus that they needed. And so there's no vote, right? Well, that tells me an awful lot.
Is the vote, I thought was, they're going to try to do one this afternoon. Has that been postponed, do you know?
I don't see a time that was set.
Yeah.
Now, I may have missed on that, but the point is, you know, that's the thing to now watch, right? Because do they really want to have another multi-round vote? Oh, my goodness. I mean, what kind of a train wreck would that be? Here's the other thing that was just hideous about all this. So they gathered in some sort of, you know, student council debate last night or whatever it was. And both, now this is all just leaked information, but apparently both of them said, well, you know, we're going to need another continuing resolution. There's just not time to get things done by November 17th. It's like, what are you gaining, any of you, out of this? When the best they can do is either McCarthy light, and I have respect for Scalise, and I know, you know, surviving the shooting, his cancer trouble now. Jordan, you know, again, has his constituency. But the best they can start with is, yep, I'm going to get to be speaker, and the first thing we're going to do is kick the can down the road to Christmas. Yikes.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring up Jim Jordan for a sec, because there has been a long-standing accusations against him that when he was a coach over at the University of Ohio State, that he basically, he wasn't guilty of abusing students, but he turned a blind eye to where some of the student athletes that were under his watch were indeed abused. And that this was something that a lot of these wrestlers have actually said that he knew about. There hasn't really been an investigation. There has basically been closed doors investigation saying we're not going to do an open and shut investigation. But the reality is that there's always been this, and there already are some athletes coming out and saying, no, he should not be Speaker of the House for this. It's my theory that, you know, Jim Jordan has been able to successfully not have to address these allegations. But if he becomes Speaker, not only will these accusations become the main talking point, but you're almost asking for the Democrats of the Senate to open up an investigation, which, you know, once again, the last thing I think the Republicans need in the House is, oh, here are some allegations that end up being proven true that Jim Jordan was aware of sexual abuse of athletes at the University of Ohio State University, and he didn't say anything about it.
When he was named Judiciary Committee Chair, we did not hear much about this again. In other words, you're right. These stories have been out there for a very long time. When the Michigan State stuff all came out, this circled back around. At the time that he was named head of the Judiciary Committee, you did not hear this come up again. But when it was Speaker, what did you hear in the last week?
Yeah.
Remember the Ohio State issue. So you're right. That would be something. Now, I have an update here. The House gaveled in briefly at 2 o'clock. And that was after the caucus vote. They prayed, they did the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Patrick McHenry immediately called a recess. Okay, so...
Never mind. Clang.
I just like banging the gavel, you know. Watch my bow tie
spin. Twins don't start till 6, so okay, fine, we'll just do this.
I got time, yeah. But now I see in a story that Jordan is urging his colleagues to vote for Scalise.
Yes.
Now that's the move of unity. That's the move of, you know, whatever. But here's the hook, and it goes back to my other point. He doesn't have enough votes to win on the first ballot, or they wouldn't have adjourned. So even with Jordan saying, thanks to you 98 others who voted for me, but y'all need to vote for Steve. Steve's our man. You know, the Raging Cajun. It's all him. Yeah. They haven't. I mean, maybe Emmer can't count to 217. I don't know
what
the issue
is. Strong suspicion there, actually. I think that's astute. This is why we bring you on the air. That's, you know, Tom Emmer can't count. There you go.
I believe I've now slandered two members of the Republican House delegation. So
they're doing a fine job on their own. I don't think you're more adding parsley to the plate at this point. So
the truth is a defense, is what you're saying. That's what management is going to use at AM 950.
It's gravy on the entree. That's all you're doing right now, man. It's gravy on the entree. Okay. I mean, by the way, I want to bring this back to Nancy Mace before we get to the break here. One of the things that she said, I voted against Kevin McCarthy because he wasn't supporting legislation to address sexual abuse and stuff like that. And then she threw her support behind Jim Jordan, who has this huge umbrella over him, which he has once again been shielded of, but he will not be able to be shielded from if he's a speaker.
And when confronted about that, it's like where is this hypocrisy? Mace basically said, oh, I don't know anything about this, which once again, this is the issue that you basically use to get rid of Kevin McCarthy. And here you are now acting as if what do you mean Jim Jordan had this allegation? I have no idea. I mean, and she said that basically, I think, on two consecutive news stories, which lead me to believe that, okay, nice job in between the two doing your research. But yeah, it's
wouldn't you look to the aide next to you and say, hey, get out your phone, Google Jordan and sexual allegations. Okay, go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the reality is that it kind of symbolizes the problem with Jim Jordan. You know, I think Jordan's doing the right thing getting out of the way, although once again, I don't know if Scalise is necessarily a better choice, but at the same time, it's, you know, that is a very ugly weight hanging over the head of Jim Jordan, and you do not want the Democrats trying to cut that line.
Well, and again, I don't know enough about the specifics other than to know there have been allegations. You would like to think if you're him and there's nothing to this, that you would yourself present information, ask for an investigation, et cetera, because to your point, that is an 800-pound cloud mm-hmm. over the head of anything that he wants to do.
And by the way, it is multiple athletes making fairly stark allegations. I think you just touched on the reason why he hasn't asked for that, because I think that would be, I don't think he would come out looking too good at the end of this. Let's take a break and come on back. We'll talk about what's next for the United States with Israel, as well as possibly with Ukraine as well. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual Wednesday visit. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
You know, the day destroys the night divides the day.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, weekdays at 5 p.m. On our show, you'll hear about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. Weekly correspondents like Dr. Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake update us with the latest news from Turtle Island. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Listen weekdays at 5 p.m. or watch the show on Native Roots Radio social media accounts. Ho-wa!
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get.
Chambaud Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambaudFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual Wednesday visit. Jeff, obviously, a lot of being talked about with the surprise attack by Hamas into Israel. I was at an event earlier today, and one of the women there made the point. She goes, you know, we can all say, you know, that there's, you know, there are problems in the world and things that need to be addressed. And you can, you know, no country is perfect. No place is perfect. But people that are trying to make an argument that Hamas is somehow justified, that is just way off base. They slaughtered 260 at a music festival. They were going door to door, killing grandmothers and kids. It is truly an atrocious attack that needs to definitely be addressed. This was, you know, just disturbing on a lot of levels. Your thoughts on this, and also just your thoughts. You pay attention to a lot of this stuff.
Do you feel as if Hamas must have had some inside information on how they could have hit Israel so bad?
They had to have.
Yeah,
right? I mean, they just had to have because, and this is, I think, what's most shattering for a lot of people, Matt, is that Israel had prided itself with justification of having this tremendous intelligence network. Well, how in the world did that all fall apart? How could there be training without people knowing? And it's not just Israel. How about us?
Yes.
And so if, you know, because the theory is if they'd have seen it, they'd have done something and looped us in. If we'd have seen it, okay. I saw something and I didn't follow up with it that Egypt may have tipped them off.
You know, Egypt apparently is insisting that earlier this year that they hadn't told Israel, said, we don't know what's going on, but we're starting to get hints that something is up. And okay. Israel, because Israel is not having anything show up on their intelligence reports, kind of dismissed it.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing that makes everyone so unsettled right now is if they could get inside the country as deeply as they did and nobody knew it, then how do you have any confidence when that government says to its people, no, we have this covered? When our government says to us, don't worry, everything's fine. I mean, this was a big, big thing to miss. Mm-hmm. And the brutality of it. I mean, people want to look away, and I fully appreciate that. But, you know, it's really hard to understand the depth of the commitment on the part of the terrorists until you see what they've done and what they're willing to, I mean, they're willing to die for the cause. And so many of us aren't willing to die for our causes. Therefore, it's hard for us to understand it, but that's where they get an advantage. If we don't take it seriously, if we don't understand it to the depth that it exists, oh gosh, this will be nothing. This will be just the very basics, the very beginning.
I've read some intelligence reports that basically come to the same conclusion. Iranian intelligence is not smart enough to have picked this up, that this more than likely came from another unknown source. The two countries that I keep seeing get mentioned on international circles are Saudi Arabia and Russia, that one of them might have tipped off the Iranians, which then get tipped off Hamas. Needless to say, considering it's, your points are incredibly valid, because this level of attack, this isn't just luck. They knew how to kind of completely get around the Iron Dome. They basically were able to, you know, like major incursions into the country with very little. They knew everything, where everything was. This came from somewhere where they had some pretty extreme intelligence about what was going on in Israel.
At first we were hearing, okay, Hamas, Iran, whomever, maybe Hezbollah now from the north as well, they were all acting to screw up the Saudi-Israeli peace deal. That's what we heard in the immediate aftermath, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if the Saudis are in on it to some degree?
Wouldn't be the first time.
Factions, and that's what I'm saying, is, you know, factions of that government. You know, we keep wanting to forget 9/11, but factions of that government are harbored within that country. Maybe there's some inside job stuff going on in all of these areas. And that's the truly tragic thing, because again, you know, and I don't mean to be disgusting about this, but you extend your hand in peace to someone and they blow it off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. You know, I mean, that's what takes this from such a hopeful time in one respect to this absolutely barbaric situation. And again, there is no end in sight. Just isn't.
And your point about Saudi Arabia is true, is that that is a very different type of government. And there are it would be like if the Saudi version of the House was trying to attack the United States while the Saudi version of the Senate was trying to do a peace deal with them.
Absolutely right. By the way, Nancy Mace just tweeted while we were on and said she doesn't know why there's not a vote.
She doesn't.
I'm not kidding. She simply says we were supposed to have a vote at 3 p.m. Okay.
She's not an A student. Thanks, Jeff. Hour two up next.
Join Twin Cities Quorum as they celebrate their 30th annual National Coming Out Day luncheon. This inspirational and transformational event gives voice to the power of living openly, honestly, and with authenticity at work, in our families, and in our faith and across our lives. The realities of living an authentic life are deeper than just being out. We all have many layers of identity, and we must work together to create a world where people can bring their whole self to everything they do. The National Coming Out Day Luncheon serves as a celebration of who we are individually and together. Reserve your tickets today for Friday, October 13th. This year's National Coming Out Day Luncheon will be at the Minneapolis Convention Center in Minneapolis. The Marketplace Expo opens at 10 a.m., and the luncheon will begin at 11:45. Tickets are available to members for $60 or non-members for $75. Learn more.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.